word that I believe will bless your heart. The Lord that I serve and you serve wants to bless us at all times, wants to hear our song at all times. So if you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, a very popular scripture. I'd like to speak to you on the subject, you have a song in your heart. You have a song in your heart. Individually, we all have a song in our heart. And Hebrews 10 and 25 states, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." The hour and day we live in, it seems that people do not want to be together in church or any type of community gathering where the Lord is honored in praise and worship. The church is not necessarily shrinking in size, but rather she has become a church that is silenced by the lack of a song. Everyone has a song in their heart. Every one of us has a song that God has given us in our heart. And we need to sing that song every day. As we walk on this earth, we need to sing the song that God has placed in our heart and how he wants to bless us and care for us. And the Lord put a song in your heart when you were saved. Now let's hear this in Psalm 41 through 3. "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pit of despair and out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a solid ground and steadied me as I walked along." I want to stop there for a moment to let you know that where you were prior to salvation was just described there. Despair, mire, and mud. This world offers those things. Just because someone may look successful, if they don't have the Lord, they certainly are not successful in the sense of salvation. Money or things do not make someone happy. Not the happiness that we know in our hearts. People talk about all the time of winning the lottery or a huge inheritance and how happy that'll make them. It really doesn't make you happy like the Lord does. Those things that people own don't make them happy. They make them feel important. But happiness that I am describing to you today comes from the Lord Jesus Christ's presence in our life. Happiness in your home, happiness in your own self, happiness in your friendships, happiness in your relations, happiness in your employment. Joy comes from the Lord. As a matter of fact, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we have to grab a hold of the fact that not only did he set our feet on solid ground, but I like what he said there. He steadied our walkings. Because as we learn to walk with the Lord, he keeps us steady by his word. If we are in the word, he keeps us steadied. When we start to waver away from what God wants for our life, he begins to steady us and he reminds us of our destiny, reminds us of our calling, because he loves us so much. He doesn't want us to be negative. He doesn't want us to be empowered by the things of the world. He doesn't want us to be judgmental or be a person of criticism. He doesn't want us to see through eyes that are blurred by this world. He wants us to see through the eyes of His love and His grace and His mercy. He wants us to be encouragers. He wants us to share the song that we have in our heart. He has given me a new song to sing, verse 3 of Psalm 40. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Now listen to that. He has given me, each individual, a song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Think about what your song is today. Think about what your song you have sung has been throughout your years of being a child of the living God. He goes on to say there, many will see what He has done and be amazed. Question is, does your song and your walk amaze people still? Does that song that you sing that's in your heart, does it amaze people? And that when they see what He has done in your life, see, He has steadied your walk. He's taken despair from you. He has taken you out of the mud and the mire, the filth and the desires of this world. In other words, He has set you free. He has cleansed you by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's rearranged you and He's set you on a path of a destiny that's sure and steadfast. He has blessed you. They will put their trust in the Lord because of what they see in you. They will put their trust in the Lord. You know, when I gave my heart to the Lord, someone came around me that I was amazed by their testimony. I was amazed by their love. I was amazed by how they cared for people. And how they didn't judge people. And how they didn't criticize people. They simply loved people. I was amazed at their laughter and their joy. I was just amazed at how someone can actually be like that. And it drew me to the Lord. It made me want to put my trust in the Lord because of the way they were acting and their song that they sung. I was raised to believe in Jesus Christ. I was raised to believe in the Trinity. I was raised to believe that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. But I did not have a relationship with Him. I went to church in my early years. I simply was not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I was in a relationship with the world, but I attended church. The things of the world were more important to me than the relationship that I found in God when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and He put His Holy Spirit in me. You know, the other day, I want to share this with you because it's unique. The other day, I was in a market in Boulder Creek, California, and I was just getting a couple items that I had forgot earlier that day. And I was there at the cash register, and the register person who was taking care of me was about to ring up my few items that I had. And the girl behind me at the register behind me began to sing. And she was just singing openly. And I started to think about the church and how we should begin to sing openly. But as the story goes on, the girl that was helping me looked at her and she says, "You know, I used to sing. I can't hit those high notes anymore." And she said something that just made me react. She said, "But I stopped singing when I left church." And I looked at her and I said, "You know, you need to get back to church." And I pointed my finger at her. that prophetic finger. I said, you need to get back to church. She says, if I go back to church, I'm sure it'll burn down. I said, no, I want to tell you something about the church. The church is fireproof. Amen. The church is fireproof. You know, but what I'm trying to say to you today is that there was a song in her heart when she was there. There was somebody behind me singing. She admittedly said, I have not sung since I left church. But I began to think about the church as a whole today. How there's a lack of song in the hearts of the people that attend church throughout America. There's not that song, that boisterous sound of praise and worship and gladness and joy to be in the house of God. Let's move forward. The Bible says in Psalm 149 and 1, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. Sing his praises. Don't forsake the assembly, as some do in the day that we live. But you can be sitting in church and still not be in church. You can be sitting in the house of God and be somewhere else, desiring where you want to be instead of being where you are. You see, that's what I'm saying today. The song seems to be disrupted. It seems to have a cap on it. It seems to be blocked. It seems to be silent. Even when the road gets rough and the way seems dark and unobtainable, we must praise him at all times. The way you get a breakthrough is by singing. Let me take you to a very honorable scripture, one that I love very deeply from the Old Testament, and many of you know it, and I quoted it last week when I was sharing just a little testimony during our Thanksgiving get-together. It was the prayer that was, now listen, the prayer that was, listen, the prayer that was sung by Habakkuk. Not stated, not written in silence that others would read one day, not loudly spoken to a group of people that were there watching and listening to this young man. It was a song sung by Habakkuk. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms in Habakkuk 3:17 through 18. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails, let me tell you what he's saying there. There is no more beauty. There is no more food. There is no more oil to make bread. And the fields lie empty and barren because of those three statements. And even though the flocks die in the fields because there is nothing to feed them. There is nothing to care for them. There is no nourishment there for them. And the cattle barns are empty because there is nothing there to feed them. Everything has been destroyed. Let's look at this personally. There may be something that's going on in your life today. Those that are watching on the streaming that we're doing and those that are here in the sanctuary, there may be something going on in your life today that have caused you to be barren, has caused you to not have the joy of those things that you see out in the world that you love so much because they are gone. There is nothing in the barns. In other words, there's nothing that you can grab for in the house or something there in your heart. There is a closure on things. He goes on to say this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will find my praise in the living and true and holy and almighty God. No matter what things I may not have, have. No matter what things have fallen to the side, no matter what things may not allow me to have the pleasures of food and the oils and the pleasures of the cupboards being full and the barns overflowing. In other words, the bank account, maybe the barns, I'm showing an analogy there, may not have what they used to have in it, yet I will praise the Almighty God who created me, who has saved me, who has called me by His name, who has adopted me into the family of God by the spirit of adoption, not by the spirit of fear, whereby I can cry out to Him daily, Abba, Father, who has told me that I am a joint heir with His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who has placed His Holy Spirit in me, who witnesses every day to me that I am a child of God, and I don't live in condemnation anymore because I live by the Spirit. I don't live in judgment. I live by the grace of God. I don't live by what my sins were because I have been established by the mercy of God and rinsed by the blood of God, and I've been saved by grace through faith, I will yet praise the Lord.
Amen.
The sovereign Lord is my strength, not this world, not my employment, not my friends, not my pastor, not my church. The sovereign Lord is my strength. That's who I lean on. I lean upon His word that does not bend, that is a surety, that is sustains me, a word that will not change, because the Bible declares in the book of Malachi, God changeth not. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews in verse 8, chapter 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He never changes. I can lean on an unchangeable, all-powerful, almighty, all truthful, because He cannot lie, God who establishes my way and steadies me. No matter how rough the storm is, He steadies me. He makes my steps a surety when I put them down. His word is a lamp and a light to my feet and to the path. I've got the lamp inside my heart. I've got His word hid in my heart that I may not sin against Him. I am not a light that's hid on a hill. My light is open for everyone to see that they can be and will be amazed at what God has done for my life. My God performs a work in me every day and will complete it until the day of the Lord. He will not stop loving me. He will not stop being kind to me. He will not stop healing me. He will not stop running away from me because He runs with me. He doesn't turn His back on me because He allows me to come into the presence of Him in the throne room of grace and find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. I serve a God who is truthful, and His word is a solid foundation to me. Amen.
Amen.
He makes me as sure-footed as a deer. I've talked to hunters. I'm not a hunter. I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm just not a hunter. I guess because I grew up in the inner city, I wasn't a hunter. But I've talked to hunters. I just talked to one the other day that went elk hunting on 3 million acres of land. He told me his experience of the elk coming down the ridge that he was able to see through binoculars, that his guide was calling with the elk object that he used to call the deer or the elk down. Literally, he said how sure-footed this huge animal was coming down this ridge. And even going past him and then coming back up to where he finally was able to shoot with a bow and arrow this large animal. I've talked to people who hunt deer back east. And they tell me that the deer is so sure-footed that they don't even see how it can run over rocks and not fall. The Bible declares this, that we are as sure-footed as a deer because he is with us. He cares for us. Let me say something a little deeper. In other words, when we're walking in this world with God, he keeps us sure-footed and away from the things that'll harm us. But when we walk away from him and we decide not to sing the song anymore, when we decide not to be in the fellowship of the assembly of the brethren anymore, we start to make our own way thinking that we can get along without God. Let me tell you, the worst decision anybody can ever make is not a financial decision. It's a decision to walk away from God and try to do it on their own. You're not sure-footed anymore. You're counting on the wisdom of men instead of the wisdom of God. The knowledge of the Lord is ripe, and the knowledge of men fails. Let me say this to you, that he is able to keep us so sure-footed that we're able to tread upon the heights. He'll take us as high as we want to go, as high as our dreams are, as high as our faith is. He will keep us sure-footed that we will make our destiny whereby he has called us to. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. You see, we do not need instruments to sing our song. Not at all. We don't need lights and glitter to sing our song. And we don't need an orchestra to sing our song. There's nothing wrong with those things where there is full groups and orchestras in churches, full bands and orchestras, a guitar in a church. There is glitter and lights and flashes. I went to a church recently in Southern California. It looked like we were in a nightclub. It really was, and other people have mentioned it to me. I'm not criticizing it at all. I'm not judging it. It just looked like that we were in a nightclub. You know, those kind of things stir up people to make them want to sing and to make them want to dance, but we don't need that. I'm not saying it's wrong that they have that. It's just that you don't need that to sing your song. Praise God. You don't need that. Well, somebody says, well, it helps. No, you just understand the only help you need is the help of the Lord and what he has done for you. You are saved. You are on your way to heaven. Glory has become what God has promised you in your life. And the Bible declares when he appears, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. Amen. The promises of the Lord are so sure and steadfast. Sing the song. You see, our song in our hearts, this is why we should sing. We should sing a song of salvation. We're saved. You may not have the testimony that your pastor has, your friend has, your preacher has. You may not have this testimony that I have that's horrific, and the things that God saved me out of will make me sing every day of my life. I am alive. Really, I can say it like a Hollywood person would say it. I'm a dead man walking right now. But let me tell you, a dead man preaching. God took me from death 2 times. But let me tell you something. I had a destiny to preach his word. I have a song to sing. Let me tell you, you may have where I was just raised in church and never did anything wrong testimony. To me, that's a testimony I wish I had. And that's a testimony. If I had that, I'd be singing loud also. But the song of salvation, I am saved. I've never gotten over that I'm saved. The enemy comes after me sometimes and vehemently tries to tear at me, vehemently tries to get at my family, vehemently tries to tear away at what my promises are, vehemently likes to put things in front of my face that cause me sometimes to think that, you know, I'm not really that successful. I'm just being open with you. But you know what? I sing a song. I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved. My destiny is not success in church. My destiny is not anything but that I am going to go to heaven. And devil, you cannot stop me at all. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Secondly, a song of forgiveness. We've been forgiven, but let me say this. That kind of relates, doesn't it, to salvation? But a song of forgiveness. You know what stops a song? Is when you have unforgiveness in your heart. When you feel you have a right to hold someone in a prison because of unforgiveness. But you really become the prisoner of unforgiveness. Forgive everyone. Just forgive them. It's just let it go. Give to the Lord the forgiveness. I forgive them. Sing a song of forgiveness. I am free. Unforgiveness will block up, just like those wells in the Old Testament that Jacob found that were blocked. And he unblocked the wells, and when he unblocked the walls, there was water and there was life. Thirdly, a song of deliverance. Let me tell you, I have been delivered. Delivered from drugs and delivered from alcohol, delivered from foul language, delivered from violence. I have been delivered. I got a song of deliverance. You know, when you've been clean 46 years, I can sing a song. Praise God. You know, and I want everybody to hear that song. He has delivered me. You have a song of deliverance also. You have a song. God has delivered you from things, set you free. You are free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. And you are free indeed. Amen.
Amen.
You have a song of promise. God has promised each and every one a promise. He has spoken something into your heart that you embraced and latched on to. You have a song of a promise. This is who I am in Jesus. This is where I'm going with Jesus. This is my destiny with Jesus. This is who I believe that God has called me to be in Jesus. Live out your song. Live it out loud. Sing the song. Do not let those things of this world push your song down and cap off the well of praise. Oh, I'm not talking about coming into the house of God and singing a song that people are singing with you that are set up on a PowerPoint presentation, and the words are there, and this either the digital or the guitar is playing, and you're singing along. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about singing your song. Amen. Songs of joy and songs of praise and songs of happiness. How about the song of hope? He's given us hope. Jeremiah 29 and 11. He's given us hope and a future. Praise God. We have hope in Jesus Christ. He's our hope. The book of Hebrews declares our hope. He's the anchor of our soul. Hebrews 6 and 19. We have hope. We don't have to let go of our hope. We have a hope that heaven is ours. Amen. Heaven is coming our way. Praise God. It could happen at any moment, but when it happens, we will see Jesus. We have a hope.
Yeah.
A song of faith. We have a great faith. God will heal me. God will save my mate. God will save my children if they're out of the church. God will provide for me. God will give me what I'm seeking right now because he knows I need this and I know he promised me. I can go down a list. You have a song of faith. Don't sing the song of I'll never get. The song of I don't believe it. Don't let those words spew out of your mouth. Sing the song of faith. My God shall provide all my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed is assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hallelujah. We have something in Jesus Christ. We have a faith in him. And then we have a song of destiny. Wow. You see, everybody that drives a car is heading somewhere. Even that those people say, I just got to take a ride. They get in the car and take a ride. They're heading somewhere. Every day you wake up, you're heading somewhere. You've got a song of destiny. And the plans that you make must be the plans of the Lord's in your life. Not the plans of men. They will fail. But the plans of God will never fail. Praise God. That's the song of destiny. I was listening the other day to a person speaking, and they said that they couldn't find water on their land. Couldn't find it. Modern day person. I don't have permission to use his name, so I won't. He had the well diggers come out and dig, and he went home. They didn't find water, but he said, you know what I was surprised at? They charged me, even though they didn't find water. So he said that he called them back out. He said, dig over here. They dug again. Couldn't find water. They left. They charged him again. So he finally called him out in the third time because this piece of property was huge and he needed water because of the destiny that God had given him to be able to own this piece of property, which would help hundreds of thousands of people. They began to dig and they dug for hours. No water. They began to pull up their drills and they called him and they said, we can't find water down here either. He said, don't take your drills up. Keep drilling. They said, we can't find any water. He said, keep drilling because I've had to pay for it twice, no water. I'm not paying for it a third time, no water. We're going to find water. And they put the drills down and they kept drilling. And they said, sir, we cannot find it. He said, keep drilling. 4 more inches that they drilled, they found an underwater spring. He said, to this day is supplying all the water for the huge property and all the gardens and all the people are flourishing. 4 more inches. My friend, you may be 4 inches from your destiny today. Keep singing your song. Stop paying the devil for what he doesn't give you and what he's trying to drill in you. Start believing God for what he has called you to be. Yeah. Yeah. Psalm 96:1-4. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he has done. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. Psalm 96:9-13. Worship the Lord in all his splendor. splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. Tell all the nations the Lord reigns. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. He will judge all peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and the crops burst out with joy. This is an answer to Habakkuk's prayer there. Let everything now flourish and burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with his truth. Sing a new song. Sing a brand new song to the Lord. Do not let these things happen in your life. There is a great reason that we should sing. Listen, Zephaniah 3:17, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you and with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Praise God. There's a reason you have that to do. Psalm 30:11-12, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothe me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Praise God. That's the word of God being poured into your spirit. Sing the song of praise. Sing the song of joy. Let me tell you something, what happens in the world today, and then I'm going to close. I'm going to close with two more scriptures, but let me tell you something that the world does to everybody, and we allow it, and shame on us. We should not, with all these scriptures that are boistering us and giving us and reminding us of the song that he has done. Instead of letting the problems of this world fill you with the negativity and bad news. There's bad news everywhere you turn. I read the news every morning. It's all bad. Everybody's wrong, except for the person writing the news. But they're telling bad news. I read today, I'm not going to repeat what I read about a woman who's raising her children to do two heinous things. They just found out and they've arrested her. Oh. The world is full of bad news, and if we allow that in to our hearts and we allow the negativity and the problems that the world tries to lay on us, we become burdened down and settled down and unable to really pray and unable to really praise and not able to worship and not able to be joyful. But we have to shake that off. We are the children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. We are brothers and sisters. We are in the army of God. We are soldiers of Christ. We are who God said we are. We are his chosen, his saved. We are his, praise God. Yeah. Don't let the world bog you down with its problems. Don't let the negativity come into your life by co-workers and other people that come up and want to speak negative stuff. Negative stuff is just what it is. Negative stuff. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let God arise. Praise God. And begin to sing a song to God every day when you wake up. Begin to walk through your home singing the song of praise. Begin to worship in your home. Lift your hands up. Don't let the enemy begin to dictate your mind on, well, this is how I'm going to be. This is what it's going to be like. And this is how it's going to be. You better get a prayer in with God and talk to God and say, how's it supposed to be, God? Who am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be like? Let me, Lord, let me be led by you and not by this world and not by the voices of people or the voice of the enemy. For no evil shall befall me, no plague shall come near my dwelling, and no disaster shall be on my path. That's your word, God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And I'm going to dwell underneath the pinions of your wings in the shadow of the Almighty God. I'm going to go to the pavilion and find safety. I'm going to run to the tower, and which is your name, and find safety. I'm going to run to the rock that is much higher than I. My Lord, my God, I am going to find you, and I'm going to sit at your feet, and I'm going to worship you, because you are God. You know who I am, and you've allowed me to know who you are through the blood of Jesus Christ. Sing the song. But let's do this. This is what the Bible says to do when all that negativity comes. Colossians 3:16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Thankful. People that go to church should be thankful. Praise God. They should be singing psalms of hymns and psalms of praise and spiritual songs to God. Thank you, God. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm no longer in the devil's army. I'm in God's army. Amen. Doesn't matter what rank I'm in God's army, because God doesn't look at ranks. He looks at commitment. Amen. In the old days, we used to say there's no big I's or little U's at the cross of Calvary. With all level ground. Amen. Praise God. God doesn't put labels on men and women. Men and women put labels on men and women. Amen. They tried to call Jesus Father. He said, there's only one Father. He's in heaven. Hallelujah. We need to live our life according to the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us to be happy. Let me close with this illustration. Some of you may have heard this before. I'm not sure. Kathy and I had the opportunity to visit Ireland in Scotland twice in our lives. Opportunity that was just awesome. Our son Mikey lived over there, so that's why we went. We got friends and they took us around the different parts of Ireland and Scotland. Saw how the people lived. And I was just amazed at how they're so happy. Playing fiddles and violins and cellos and musical instruments. They're just so happy. So when we got back to California in Santa Cruz, somebody bought us tickets as a gift to go down to the Santa Cruz Civic Center to where they were having 100 violins and cellos playing Scottish music. Well, I love Scottish music. You walk up and down the streets of Edinburgh, and that's all you hear is Scottish music coming out of the stores and everything. It's fabulous. It really is. Everybody's happy. You walk up and down the streets of America, and all you hear is people cussing, yelling. And you got to watch out which streets you walk up and down, because you may not make it home. Sad to say. And those streets need Jesus, and the church needs to take the joy of the Lord to those streets, because Jesus will change anybody. You're looking at him. I'm sure if you looked in the mirror yourself, you'd maybe have that same testimony. I'm not going to say that, but you would probably say, yeah, look at me. I'm free. But they sent us down there. And we sat in the first row along the side of that Civic Center. I know the Civic Center well, and some of the people in the sanctuary know the Civic Center well, because we fed a lot of people there at Thanksgiving. Lots of people for 3 years. But we know what it's like in there. We went in there and we sat down and they played, and it was the Scottish music, and it was so beautiful. I was closing my eyes and I was in Scotland It was beautiful. Then the concert ended. I didn't want it to end. Underscore those words there. I didn't want it to end. I wanted to sit there for another 2 or 3 hours and listen to the cellos and the violins play Scottish music. I didn't want it to end. I looked at my wife, Kathy, and I said, you know what, honey, I wish they would go on for 4 hours. She said, yeah, me too. That was just great. Then all of a sudden, they started walking towards the doors that lead to the outside. And as they got to the door, they each began to play. All 100 of the violins and cellos went outside. The cellos sat on the front porch, stood their cellos up. And the violins were out in the streets playing. They took their music that I wish they would have never stopped out into the streets that everyone could hear. The Holy Spirit spoke to me as clear as he's ever spoken to me. Now, this is nearly 10 years ago. He said, my church should do this. It shouldn't stop in my sanctuary. When they leave the church, they should be singing their song out and about where everyone could hear it. But he said this, but they're not. I was so happy when God gave me this message this week. I danced a little bit, actually. I got so happy. I was so thankful to be able to bring it to people such as yourselves who love God. But the challenge is to everyone who's listening by the stream, who's in this sanctuary, to each and every one of us. Let's not have the testimony, but they do not. Let's have the testimony as they leave here and they leave their homes and they leave their buildings, wherever it may be they're listening, that they take the song that they have that God gave them and they bring a song out there and sing that song that people would see and be amazed. Everyone in that city was amazed that night that could not get in. There were people that couldn't get in because there wasn't enough room. There were people, it was sold out, that could not get in. But there were people out there that did not hear it till they blew those doors open and they walked out there and played for a half hour in the streets. That my church would do that again. Let's pray.